Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There's a startling disconnect between the kinds of things the Apostle Paul prayed for and the things most of us pray for. We focus on our physical needs, while God wants to work on our motivations. Today, learning to pray for the things God wants. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on disciplines of the soul, four ways to stay close to God. In studying the discipline of prayer, we're realizing how self-absorbed most of our prayers really are.
Spurgeon, you remember, said, "Oh, blessed axe of sorrow that cuts a pathway to my God by chopping down the tall trees of human comfort." You know, all that we're doing is we're praying for our creature comforts. Make it easier. Solve the problems. God says, that's not my agenda. And we keep coming to him with an agenda that isn't really his. It's ours. Boy, when you're praying Romans 12, and if you've turned to that passage, I hope you stay there because we're going to return to it in a moment. But when you're praying that, now suddenly, you're getting the mind of the Lord. You're discovering what the will of God really is for your life. Now, if there's a passage that absolutely does not lend itself to prayer, and that may be true of some of the historical sections of the Bible, then what you do is you simply read it, and if possible, if you can't read it out loud, at least to read it and let your lips move, and read it to God. Say, Lord, I'm reading your word, but I'm reading your word in your presence, and I'm reading this word to you. And in the process, God is honored because he says he has exalted his word as high as his name. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what about posture in prayer? Well, I have my own convictions, but actually the way in which the posture is not that important, it is the heart. I read about one man who never prayed because he could never have the right posture. When he knelt, his suit got creased. When he stood, his legs ached. When he sat, it seemed to be too irreverent. But one day he was walking through an open field and fell head first into a narrow well. Am I going too fast for some of you? Discovered, you know, there are moments when posture is not that big a deal. In fact, you can even pray upside down if you really have to. You say, yes, but Pastor Lutzer, what about the distractions? Now, when you begin to do this, you are going to find all kinds of distractions. Because remember, the devil is now going to really awaken. He who has been asleep is suddenly going to come alive and say, I can't let this go on. So what will happen is you're going to be distracted. You're going to have so many concerns. Years ago, sometimes what I would do is actually take, there are two answers to this, by the way. The first is to pray for the thing that has distracted you. It's probably an anxiety. So what you do is, as that distraction comes, you say, Lord, this has come to mind and this is distracting me now. And so I want to give this to you. I want to pray through that so that I can get back to my adoration of you and get back to the scriptures. In fact, there were times earlier, many years ago, when I would actually have a notepad next to my open Bible. Because the minute I would go down to pray, suddenly I remembered what I should do. I was thinking about this and so forth. And then I couldn't let go of those thoughts because I thought I might forget what it is that I have to do. So I would simply write it down. You write it down and take care of it so that you can get back to the business of praying. Now, I don't necessarily think that you should always put your Bible in your left hand and your Palm Pilot on your right. But something has to be done so that we can get back to the business of praying and so that our distractions are used for the glory of God instead of destroying the communion that God wants us to have with him. And so what happens is God triggers our memories. Just try this. I was reading in Psalms the other day where it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." What do you do with a verse like that? Well, immediately I began to think, you know, I have never prayed for atheists. This might be a good opportunity to do that. Father, and a few do come to mind, I pray that you will help them to understand how foolish this is. God, have mercy upon their souls. Do you see how reading God's word will trigger in our minds other things and people to pray for that we would never think of on our own? You say, well, should you have a prayer list? Yes, a prayer list is good, because what it does is it helps focus our wandering mind. But in praying this way, we will never pray the same old thing in the same old way. And finally, we now have a prayer that will stay with us all during the day, because we've combined meditation and intercession. Now, I encourage you to do this. I encourage you to do it for a month. Commit yourself to a month. What you'll discover is the hunger and the burden for God's word and the desire to be in God's presence will grow so much that afterwards it'll simply become a part of your whole habit and experience. But the first few weeks will be difficult, and you know who's going to try to make it difficult for you. I asked you a moment ago to keep your Bibles open to the 12th chapter of Romans. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and I just thought of this idea this morning, if we as a church were to take verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, to the end of the chapter, and all of us pray it this week for Moody Church. Can you imagine? Love must be sincere. Oh God, we pray. Make us people who are sincere and devoted. And there may be specific situations that the Lord brings to mind that you need to commit to Him in your own life and in the lives of others here at the church. Oh God, as a congregation, may we hate what is evil. May we cling to what is good. And ask God to give us a burden to intercede for those who are tied up with evil, who are bound by evil, and then be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And go down all the way and pray that prayer for our congregation. It won't just simply be now, bless Moody Church. It'll be God's agenda for God's people. And what will happen if we begin to pray this way? We'll finally obey the words of Scripture, which say, pray continuously. Because the words will be in our mind and our hearts, and as we meet God in the morning, and as we finally surrender the day to Him and begin every day at the foot of the cross, so to speak, and as we commit ourselves to Him and as we're meditating and praying, we'll have something to take with us throughout the day. And the prayer that we prayed in the morning will be in our minds and in our hearts. Yes, we will be rebuked, exhorted, encouraged, smitten with conviction, given hope. All of those things will take place if we treat the Scriptures in this way. We'll discover, as someone has said, that when we pray something that is not God's will, He'll say no. If we pray something that is not His timing, He will say slow. And if we pray in a way and God sees that we are the problem, He will say grow. But in the process, we'll finally meet God. And what we'll discover is that it's not abnormal to be able to say that you belong to the prayer watch and spend an hour with the Lord, because what you're doing is you're reading His word. Your prayer list is on one side of your hand and the Bible is on the other, and you're connecting the two, and God is leading you into the depths of prayer. Some of you are here today and you're surprised at the intimacy that all of us want with God. And the reason may be is because you personally have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, how do you do that? That's what a man asked me one time. He said, how do you do that? What do you say? Well, of course, it's not the words that are important, but it is the expression of the heart. But there is a prayer in the Bible that you can pray, and some of you need to pray it this morning. The Bible says Jesus tells the story about two people who went into a temple to pray. Now, both were praying, but the one man was praying his own agenda. He was not praying God's agenda at all. He said, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like other men. They are extortioners and adulterers, but I fast twice a week and I give tithes of everything that I possess. You don't find that in the Bible, bragging like that. Where's that coming from? He's praying his own ideas. He's exalting himself in the very presence of the God who should humble him. But next to the Pharisee, there was another man, a publican, despised, thought of to be lower class. And the Bible says that he would hardly even look to heaven. He couldn't stand to look up as if he would see the face of God. He simply smote his breast. And here's the prayer that he prayed that some of you really should pray today. He said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said that that man, the second man, went home justified, and the other did not. How do we connect with God? We connect by acknowledging our own sinfulness and our need of a Savior. And we say, oh God, I receive your mercy as it is given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We receive our mercy from his loving hand. It is a gift given to those who finally give up all dependence upon works and trust Christ alone. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Let's pray together. Our Father, today, we want to pray as earnestly as the disciples did when you were here on earth, Lord Jesus, when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We confess today that there are many people who have listened to this message, who have never gotten beyond good intentions. Transform today, we pray. Make it different. We ask today that you will help us to be able to meditate and to pray your thoughts back to you and to pray your agenda and not ours. Make us a praying people, we ask. Oh, we think, Lord, of those who perhaps have never attended a prayer meeting here. Would you share with us that burden and that hunger that would transform our lives and the lives of our community and our family through burning, continual, faithful intercessory prayer? And for those who have never trusted Christ, we pray today that they might cry out to him and say, yes, be merciful to me, the sinner, and receive your grace. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have the assurance of your salvation? I'm holding in my hands a book written by Dr. Sweeting in which he discusses that in Chapter 8. Now, this book also contains a lot of information about the basics of the Christian life that you and I need to relive and relearn over and over again. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. Hope that you'll take advantage of it. It will help you in your journey ahead.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Discipline of Prayer, the second of four messages on disciplines of the soul. Next time, don't miss The Discipline of Worship. The new year is a time for beginnings. We'd like you to have a book by George Sweeting on how to begin the Christian life. It tells new believers how to follow Jesus. This book is yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.